Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark.
Chilling tales for dark nights.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. I'm your host, Steve Taylor, and tonight's tale may have you eyeing out your front door a little differently, and your phone screen, too. It's about monsters, but not the kind that claw or shriek or crash through walls. This one waits. It knocks. It smiles. And the scariest part, it doesn't enter until you say yes. Before we open that door, a few words of caution and support. If you enjoy what we do here, help us keep the nightmares flowing. Leave a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever your earbuds pick up those echoes from the dark. Watching on YouTube? Like, comment, and subscribe, and ring that bell like it owes you rent. Want even more horror? Visit ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com. For just $7.99 a month or less with an annual plan, you'll unlock ad-free episodes, early access, and stories too twisted for the public feed. And if social media is your thing, we're lurking on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Follow us for peeks behind the curtain, narrator features, and eerie extras. Now then, lock your doors, mind your instincts, and brace yourself, because the most dangerous monster of all is the one you welcome. Tonight's featured tale comes from a returning fan favorite, Jay of Horror on the Rocks. And if you've been with us lately, you know he's been on a tear. Jay's been featured in 3 recent Chilling Tales for Dark Nights episodes. Episode number 340, Storms and Spirits. Episode number 360, Last Rites and Stranger Nights. And just last week in episode number 370, Built to Break You, with his haunting descent into sleep paralysis and demonic rule following. If you haven't heard those yet, do yourself a favor, go back. They're some of our most chilling and emotionally resonant episodes to date. Jay is a military veteran, a therapist, and a storyteller with a voice that pulls you in and won't let go. His podcast and YouTube channel, Horror on the Rocks, is packed with immersive narration, audio dramas, and original tales that blend folklore, personal dread, and psychological horror into something unforgettable. And tonight, he's not just telling us a story. He's holding up a mirror. Written and performed by Jay of Horror on the Rocks, this is Invitation Only.
All right. Let's not begin with castles in Transylvania. That's too romantic. It's too clean. No, let's start further back. Before doors, before locks, when shelter was nothing but firelight flickering against door floors. And a hole in the wall where the world crept in. That place, the threshold, it was sacred. A line drawn not with wood or stone, but with hope. On this side, warmth, safety, and family. And on the other, teeth in the dark. We feared that line. We prayed over it. The Romans honored their household spirits, whispering to the Laris and the begging Jonas, the two-faced god of doorways and transitions, to keep the chaos out. In Japan, they still press Afuda to their frames like sealing wax on the soul. In Mesopotamia, they buried charms beneath the step, as if fear could be buried too. And all of it was a ritual. All of it was architecture, yes, but spiritual. A wall of belief, not brick. A threshold wasn't just where your house began. It was where you ended. And here's what makes the vampire different. It doesn't defy that boundary. It obeys it. And that's what makes it worse. Because if it waits for an invitation, then it's you who opens the door. Your ruin is your own doing. Not a sudden rush of claws or a wail of a ghost slipping through cracks. No, no. The vampire asks and waits. It lives on your voice, your trust, and your permission. And that changes everything. Because now it is not just a monster. It is a mirror. Ancient people, they knew this, even if they didn't say it out loud. The Celts nailed iron horseshoes above their doors. Egyptians carved wards into stone lintels, and in Japan, even now, you step carefully over a threshold, never on it. Each ritual, every charm, are saying the same thing in different tongues. What's out there must stay out there. Unless you let it in. Even after the Christianization of Europe, the idea endured. Icons replaced runes and crosses replaced bones, but the fear remained. The door frames were still a border, a fragile dam between the living and the long dead. And vampires? They've always belonged to the latter. But not in the way that you'd think. They weren't cloaked noblemen in candlelit halls. Not at first. In Slavic tales, they were your brother. Your aunt. The child who came home wrong. The villagers scattered rice or seeds by the door. Not to trap and not to kill, but to simply delay. The Strigoi, cursed to count every grain before sunrise, would fall victim to their own compulsions. You see the same thing again in China, with the Zhenagashi, the stiff, hopping dead bound by riddles and rituals. And they weren't fought with blades. They were distracted. And we hoped that they would lose track of the night. Because force was never enough. We had to choose not to let them in. Do you understand what I'm saying? We tell ourselves that we're smarter now, and we have outgrown the fears of old. But we still do pause when the doorbell rings at night, still hesitate when an unknown number flashes on our phone. We feel it, even now, that primal chill beneath the skin. The world is brighter, sure, but the shadows haven't left. They've simply adapted. And so has the vampire. But this one thing, this law of invitation, it endures. Because it doesn't just touch fear. It digs deeper into the marrow of what we believe keeps us safe. That we are the ones who are in control. That our homes are ours and that evil stays out unless we say yes. But that is an illusion. Before we had doors, we had thresholds. Before we had death, we feared what would come back from it. And long before we knew what monsters were, we were already inviting them in. The vampire doesn't break rules. It waits for you to ask it inside. Vampires don't violate our homes. They violate our trust. Not in them, but in ourselves. There's something far more chilling about a monster that waits than one that attacks. Something almost elegant in its restraint. It doesn't need to shatter glass or batter down a door. It only needs to pause. Silent. Composed. Patient. And wait for you to say yes. That is the horror that no one talks about. Not the thing at your threshold, but the part of you that opens the door. We like to believe that our homes are our fortresses. Four walls, a lock, a deadbolt, and we sleep like gods. Untouchable. But that sense of safety. It isn't just made of wood and steel. It's something deeper. A sensation buried in our bones. Psychologists, they call this territorial cognition. It's why you can move through your bedroom blindfolded, but feel like an intruder in someone else's kitchen. It's not about the space, it's simply about ownership, control. But then, someone knocks, and everything shifts. Inside us, two ancient instincts begin to wrestle. One tells us to reach out, and the other says to run. Researchers, they call this approach avoidance conflict. The war between connection and caution. It's old, older than language. And the vampire knows it better than we do. Because it doesn't need claws. It only needs ambiguity. We think that we'd recognize danger when it comes. We like to believe that we'd spot the red flags. But we don't. We're not built for that kind of clarity. We want to believe people are kind. We want to see them as good. And monsters, real monsters, they thrive on that. They don't have to hypnotize us. They just have to be charming and patient. If you've ever indulged in Salem's Lot, the scariest moment isn't the bite. It is the knock at the window, the whisper, and the child who lets it in. And that is the vampire's weapon. Consent. Not stolen. Given. And that's what turns them into something worse than predators. Because when you open the door, it's not your home that they enter. It is your certainty, your sense of safety. Your belief that you can spot evil when it smiles, that you can protect what matters. And that's what unravels. See, werewolves tear, ghosts they haunt, but vampires, they negotiate. They let you light the match that burns it all down. The brilliance of it, the cruelty. How it preserves the illusion of choice. You said yes. You welcomed it. But did you really? Most stories don't show that moment clearly. They don't need to. Because by the time the character realizes what they've done, it's already too late. They thought that they were being polite. They thought that they were in control. And then the threshold is behind them. And they never get it back. That's what stays with me. That quiet suggestion. In story after story that maybe we're not as good at recognizing danger as we want to believe. That monsters don't announce themselves. They ask you how your day was. They offer you a drink. They wear clean clothes and perfect teeth. And we simply smiled back. We are surrounded by those moments now. A message from someone that you don't remember meeting. A friend request. A charming stranger who simply wants to talk. The vampire isn't stuck in folklore anymore. It's adapted. It's fluent in modern tongues. It moves like an algorithm now, not a shadow. But the rule hasn't changed. It still waits. It still asks. And we still answer. That's why vampire stories haven't faded. Because every time a character says yes, every time that they open the door, you feel it, don't you? That whisper, that question. Would I have done the same? But here's the thing. The vampire, those early ones, they didn't always know that. They weren't invaders. They were mourners. And that's what makes them unbearable. They don't come for conquest. They come because they think that this is still home. Because they think that you still love them. And that's the part that stays with me. Why else would they fixate on the door, the fire, the bed that used to be theirs? Because in grief, we beg for return. Death is too sudden and too wrong. The human mind doesn't know how to let go. We dream of impossible knocks, of familiar voices on the other side. Of maybe. Maybe it's not over. Maybe it's them. Maybe they've come back. They were family. Wrong. Twisted. Familiar. But off.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And then came 1897. Bram Stoker did something cruelly genius. He didn't invent the vampire. He refined it. Took centuries of gutter folklore, bodies coming back confused and hungry, and gave it etiquette. Gave it manners. Draped it in silk and silence and let it walk into Victorian drawing rooms without spilling a drop. He gave the monster restraint. He took the bloated, desperate Strigoi of the countryside and handed it a calling card, a castle as well as an accent. And then he did something even more terrifying. He didn't make the invitation rule a rumor anymore. He enshrined it. Dracula doesn't break in. He waits. Patient, cultured, polite. And that's not a contradiction. That's the horror. Because in a society obsessed with order, appearance, and social rules, manners are the perfect weapon. Victorian England was a world of lines. Between rich and poor, man and woman, proper and improper, and none of them were guarded with violence. They were guarded with etiquette. Who belonged and who didn't? Who deserved a seat? Who was allowed through the door? And Dracula, he didn't ask for blood. He asked for respect. He arrived not as a beast, but as a guest. And refusing a guest, that was unthinkable. Hospitality wasn't just polite, it was sacred. In ancient Greece, the law of Xenia to welcome the stranger was enforced by the gods themselves. Turn away a guest and you risk divine wrath. And so, when a clean, courteous, foreign nobleman knocked, you opened the door. You had to. That is the brilliance of Stoker's vampire. He didn't break social norms. He weaponized them. By wrapping monstrosity in silk and breeding, he created a predator no one could refuse. Not a monster, but a metaphor. for everything the Victorians feared. Foreigners, class mobility, moral decay behind lace curtains. At the turn of the century, England was changing. The empire was cracking at the edges, immigrants were arriving, the rich were growing nervous, and Dracula, immortal, powerful, invasive, he embodied all of it. He didn't just feed on blood, he fed on England. And no one stopped him, because it would have been rude. We still live in the shadow of that reflex, that hesitation, that quiet, conditioned instinct to say yes when we mean no, to smile when we should run, to shake hands with the thing that we don't quite trust, because to cause a scene would be worse than being devoured. And even now, the vampire smiles. He doesn't knock anymore. He pings. He buzzes. He sends a friend request at 2 a.m. with perfect teeth and a shared interest. The threshold still exists, but it's not wood or iron anymore. It's passwords, push notifications, blue check marks, and suggestion algorithms. And just like before, the danger doesn't crash in. It asks. In the modern age, the invitation rule didn't vanish. It evolved. Every allow access, every click to accept, every app update and camera permission. It's ritual now. It's smarter bloodletting. We scroll, we tap, and the vampire doesn't have to seduce us anymore. We offer ourselves, and it doesn't drink blood. It drinks attention, likes, views, engagement. Think about it. The vampire doesn't wait outside your door anymore. It waits on your lock screen, right there in your inbox, on your feed. And the way that you let it isn't just with whispered yes, but with a flick of your thumb. Checkbox, a double tap. You invite it not out of ignorance, but simply out of routine. And the scariest part? Even the language has changed. Allow cookies, accept terms, grant access. All framed as choices. All dressed as invitations. And so we live surrounded by invisible doors, not sealed with deadbolts, but with glowing buttons and friendly prompts. And behind each one, something is waiting. Corporations, algorithms, influencers, not monsters with fangs, monsters with metrics. They don't sleep in coffins, they live in cloud servers. They don't hunt you, they track you. They feed not on blood, but on attention, and the more that you give, the stronger that they grow. And just like the old monsters, they cannot enter without consent. Only now, the consent is buried under legal jargon and dopamine triggers, shiny red hearts, double taps, push notifications that you might like this. And we do. And that's the problem. Apps that promise intimacy, short bursts of connection, a stranger who seems to get you. And it's fine. Until one day you realize how much of yourself you've given away. Not all at once, but piece by piece. That is the genius of the modern vampire. It doesn't seduce you with mystery. It shows you yourself. Because the vampire doesn't need to break in anymore. You let it in. You invite it. And the fear? It's no longer about death. It's about disappearance. Not the loss of life, but the loss of privacy, of time, of identity. You don't feel the bite. You feel the drain, We scroll, we click, we swipe, and we empty ourselves by degrees. It's no coincidence that we talk about this in vampiric terms. Hooked, addicted, drained. Because we built a system that feeds. And only now the sustenance isn't blood. It's you. And the worst part, we still think that we're in control. But the vampire doesn't knock on wooden doors anymore. It taps on glass. Strip away the capes, the coffins, the gothic romance, forget the fangs, and forget the castles. At its core, the vampire has always been something far more intimate. Far more dangerous. It's not just a predator. It's a reflection. Of fear, of desire, of the tiny, quiet choice that we make when no one else is watching. And on that rule, the invitation has never been its weakness. It is the test, not of the vampire, of us, of who we trust, of what we ignore, of the way that we justify the unease of our gut just to avoid saying no. The invitation doesn't weaken the monster, it exposes the vulnerability of the host. Because the threat was never outside. It was inside all along. You said yes. Across every continent, every culture, every century, the vampire has changed its face, its language, its mask. But never its meaning. In the plague years, it was unquiet dead. In the Victorian drawing rooms, it was the outsider dressed better than you. And today? Today it's in your inbox, in your feed, in the glow of the screen that you can't stop looking at. Not all monsters kick down doors. Some knock politely and wait for you to choose wrong. And that's what makes it so terrifying. Not the bite. Not the blood. Not even the death. It's the realization. The quiet, arching truth that you let it happen. You saw the pale face, heard the unfamiliar voice, felt the cold wind curling at your door. And you opened it anyway. Not because you were foolish, not because you were weak, because you are human. And the real vampire isn't just something waiting in the dark. It's the part of yourself that wants to say yes. The whisper that says it's probably fine. The instinct that you push down because it feels rude to close the door. Because you want to believe the best. Because doubt feels heavier than risk. That is why the vampire never disappears. Because the question it asks is timeless. Who do you trust? Who do you invite? And who do you become? Every threshold holds a choice. Every invitation is a risk. Sometimes it wears fangs, sometimes it wears a smile, and sometimes it comes through the screen. But always, it waits for you to speak. Because in the end, the story was never about the monster. It was always about us. And the terrible, fragile hope that this time, maybe we will choose differently. I suppose that's what makes it all so terrifying. The realization, slow sinking and irreversible, that you let it in. You heard the knock. You looked through the glass, saw the pale face, the tired eyes, the softened voice, and something in you shifted, not out of fear, but empathy. And still, you opened the door, not because you were naive, not because you were foolish, but because you were kind, And that is what breaks me most. You were the kind of people who believed in warmth, even when the world had gone cold. The kind of people who ask if a stranger is all right before asking what he wants. The kind who will offer a blanket and a place to sit even when your instincts whisper that something feels wrong. You didn't listen to that voice. And now, you never will again. You're still here, just feet away. The two of you curled into each other on the couch. I can still see the teacups on the table. Steam long gone, sugar still clinging to the rim. You died holding hands. Even now, drained and pale, you look peaceful. You look like people who died believing that they had done something good. And in a way, you had. You saw a man standing in the cold and you let him in. God, I wish that I could say thank you. I wish that I could tell you that it was not your fault. That I fought it. That I tried. That something stronger than me took over. But it would be a lie, wouldn't it? I knocked. I waited. And I smiled the way that I learned to smile. And when you opened the door, I stepped across the threshold, gently, gratefully, as if I deserved it. But I didn't. I don't. I've watched centuries burn down behind doors like yours. Doors opened by people who wanted to believe the best. People who thought kindness could save them. I've seen the same moment replay again and again. Different countries, different tongues, different lives. And it always ends like this. With the warmth gone. With blood cooling on the floor. And with me. Sitting in the dark. Wishing I was something else. Do you know what that kind of hunger feels like? Not just the thirst, not just the pain, but the knowing. The endless, arching knowledge that no matter how much you grieve the thing that you have done, you will do it again. Because the truth is, I crave it. I crave the heat of it, the pulse, the life. I crave the way that it ignites my frozen insides for a few stolen seconds. It makes me feel something close to human again. I crave the lie. Lets me live while that taste still lingers on my tongue. And then it fades. The warmth leaves. The silence returns, and I am left with nothing but the echo of your heartbeat still fading in my ears. I have begged to be something else, something better. I have thrown myself into sunrises I knew wouldn't take me. I have starved for weeks, for years, hoping the hunger would wither before it consumed anyone else. But it always wins. Always. Because I am not the man. Not anymore. I am a thing that wears skin like clothing, that mimics humanity with practiced gestures and not just enough sorrow to be convincing. I don't deserve your trust. I didn't deserve your home. I don't deserve the gentleness that you had in your eyes before they went dim. You welcomed me. You didn't know who I was. You couldn't. But you invited me in all the same, and now... here we are. You still holding each other. Me sitting in the dark, with your warmth fading from my lips, and the shame thick in my chest. I wish that I could, but I don't cry anymore. I don't know if I still can. But if I could, if there was anything left inside me that deserved to mourn, you and countless others would be the ones that I would mourn for. Because you didn't deserve this. You deserved a night of peace. A quiet evening. Another sunrise, another decade, maybe two. You deserved better than me. And I will knock again. Somewhere else, some other night, in some other storm. And someone else will answer. Because someone always does. And when they do, I will smile. I will lie. And I will step across the threshold. Because I don't know how to stop.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
That was Invitation Only. Written and performed by Jay of Horror on the Rocks. Some monsters steal, some devour, but the ones that wait, that charm, that ask to be let in, those are the ones that stay with you. Jay storytelling here is masterful, wrapping ancestral fear around the scroll wheel of your feed, and reminding us that we're not as safe or as smart as we think we are. If you loved what you heard tonight, dive deeper into Jay's world. On YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, search Horror on the Rocks. Or follow Jay on Instagram and Twitter at Horror on the Rocks for updates, bonus content, and behind-the-scenes horror nerdery. Jay's also the mind behind I Inherited a Mortuary, an ongoing horror comedy series co-written with Dr. Plague, a twisted funeral tale that's part 6 feet under, part Hellboy, and all heart. And again, if you missed his other Chilling Tales episodes, revisit number 340, Storms and Spirits, number 360, Last Rites and Stranger Nights, and number 370, Built to Break You. Trust me, once you've heard Jay once, you'll be back for more. If you decide to check out his channel, don't forget to let him know that Steve and the team at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights sent you. And finally, if tonight's tale made you hesitate at a ping or rethink the phrase, "It's probably nothing," then you know what to do. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, and let us know, have you ever answered something you shouldn't have? For ad-free horror, exclusive episodes, and early access to new chills, become a patron at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com. For $7.99 a month or less with a yearly plan, you'll help us keep the darkness alive. We're back every Monday and Wednesday with new horrors, familiar voices, and unforgettable stories. So make sure you're subscribed and ready to let the next tale in. I'm your host, Steve Taylor. And as always, thank you for allowing me to guide you through the darkest corridors of humanity's imaginations. Until next time, turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Sweet dreams, listeners. Sweet dreams.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.